This is DW News live from Berlin, a medical emergency at the European Football Championship. Denmark's Christian Eriksen collapses on the pitch, but from his hospital bed, he tells teammates the game must go on. We'll bring you all the latest. Also coming up, a show of unity at the G7 summit in the United Kingdom. Leaders of the richest democracies confront the threat from authoritarian states, with China at the top of their list. And is this Germany's next leader in waiting? Annalena Baerbock takes the floor as the Greens' groundbreaking candidate to head up the government. I'm Pablo Folie-Lies. Welcome to the programme. Danish footballer Christian Eriksen is recovering in hospital after he collapsed on the pitch during Denmark's European Championship match against Finland. A medical crew was immediately called in and they gave the midfielder chest compressions and were able to revive him. The game in Copenhagen was suspended but resumed at the request of both teams. Denmark went on to lose 1-0. Well, for more on this, DW reporter Jonathan Crane is here in the studio. So, Jonathan, incredibly shocking images from Copenhagen. How's Christian Eriksen doing now?
Well, I'm pleased to say, Pablo, it does appear to be good news. The Danish Football Association has provided an update. He is stable, as you said, he's awake. He is talking in hospital. Clearly, they will be doing more tests on his condition, that hospital in central Copenhagen, not far from the stadium. So it is good news after the distressing images that we did see earlier in the day.
Right, well, talk us through exactly what happened.
Well, it all happened really so quickly and very suddenly. He was by the left touchline, collapsed. His players, his teammates around him immediately knew something was wrong. They then formed this ring around him to protect his privacy. Obviously, a lot of concern in the stadium. Players crying, praying. It was really distressing. We saw a CPR being performed. But then those images there, Eriksen on the stretcher, hand on his head, eyes open, after 20 minutes of being treated. So that did kind of bring some hope and reassurance to people. But clearly not scenes we want to be seeing on the pitch. And it is now good news, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully it is good news. Now, perhaps surprisingly, for some, the game resumed. How did that decision actually come about, though?
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be sharing that opinion. How on earth can you carry on playing after all of that? Denmark's coach, after the match, said they weren't forced by UEFA to play, given two options, really. Resume the match that evening or come back today, later today, to play. As you can see there, they did come back on the pitch and do so. He also said, though, that the players are basically emotionally gone, emotionally finished. And you really have to understand that, don't you? The fact that they lost the game 1-0 in the end, really just a footnote in all of this.
Absolutely. I mean, it must have been incredibly shocking. And I mean, to just go back on the pitch as if almost nothing had happened, I'd say very difficult for them. Jonathan, unfortunately, this is definitely not the first time we've seen this kind of thing happen before on the pitch, right?
It really does bring back some memories, actually, because it has happened before, as you say. Several examples. Marc Vivien Foe, the Cameroon player, collapsed on the pitch and then died in 2003 in a Confederations Cup match. Fabrice Muamba, another example in 2012. He was technically dead for 78 minutes. He was revived, but then retired, obviously, soon after, age 24. He tweeted, "Please God," today. Thankfully, those prayers were answered.
Yeah, incredible stuff. And, you know, a happy ending after all that shock and distress that we saw earlier on. Jonathan Crane, thank you so much for bringing us all that information.
You're welcome.
Right, well, moving on to other news, and our main news is leaders of the wealthiest democracies have agreed on a plan to counter China's global influence. The first face-to-face G7 summit since the pandemic began has showcased a newfound Western unity. Day two of the talks in southwest England focused on holding back the rising power of authoritarian states such as China and Russia. The third and final day will wrap up with pledges of cash to help fight climate change.
A postcard-perfect meeting on the beach. Environmental activists are worried the G7 summit will deliver little more than pretty pictures. In the hotel above, the talk is all about bolstering the global economic recovery after the pandemic. Joe Biden wants the Europeans to commit to joining a global infrastructure program to balance the investment influence of China. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel supports the idea. We know there's a huge need for infrastructure in places like Africa. It's in our interest that Africa develops its economy. We can't simply say that China is already taking care of that. Rather, it is the G7's aspiration to create a positive agenda aimed at the many countries in the world that still have a lot of catching up to do. Threatening to overshadow the display of unity is the infighting between EU leaders and the summit's host, Boris Johnson. The British Prime Minister's threats to override the Brexit agreement's terms on trade flows to Northern Ireland was the subject of several bilateral talks. Johnson was kept waiting by French President Emmanuel Macron, who arrived with strong words threatening consequences if the UK fails to abide by the Brexit treaty's customs rules. The Prime Minister was equally forthright in his comments to the press.
It's the prime duty of the UK government to uphold the territorial integrity of the United Kingdom. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll do whatever it takes to ensure that.
The G7 leaders have been joined by guests from South Korea, South Africa, India and Australia, discussing how to end the current pandemic and prevent the next one.
Well, let's take a look now at some of the other stories from around the world. A Greek court has jailed four Afghan asylum seekers for 10 years over the fire that destroyed Moria migrant camp last year. Rights groups and the United Nations say the camp was unfit to live in. More than 12,000 people were housed there when the blaze broke out. Thousands of people in Burkina Faso have rallied to demand better security. They marched through the town of Dori. Islamist militants massacred more than 100 people in a nearby village earlier this month. Protesters say the authorities are failing to protect people living in the Sahel region. COVID-19 cases have more than doubled in Moscow in the past few days. The mayor has ordered many businesses to send workers home. It's the first time this year that such tough measures have been imposed in the Russian capital. Well, here in Germany, the Greens have formally nominated their first candidate for chancellor in September's general election. The party conference gave the nod to co-leader Annalena Baerbock.
She's one step closer to her goal. Annalena Baerbock hopes to replace Angela Merkel as German leader and on Saturday got the backing of 98.5% of her party to run as the first ever Green candidate for chancellor. The joy to take over responsibility and the knowledge that we can do it better together, that's what we're seeing emerge here. We've spent 40 years preparing for this. Now is the time to renew our country. And anything is possible.
Unser Land zu erneuern und alles ist drin.
For the past 3 years, Baerbock and Robert Habeck have been at the helm of the Green Party and led the Greens to new highs in the polls. Now the party is part of coalition governments in 11 of Germany's 16 states. Annalena Baerbock was born in northwestern Germany in 1980, the same year the Green Party was founded. It started off pushing for gender parity and environmental protection. In 1983, the first Green MPs were elected to Parliament, becoming a provocative force in the Bundestag. In 1998, the Greens entered government for the first time as the junior coalition partner to Gerhard Schröder's Social Democrats. One of the Greens' biggest victories was that coalition's decision to phase out nuclear energy. A decision that, after initial resistance, Angela Merkel's government implemented in 2011. The Greens got a boost in the polls in 2019 when the Fridays for Future climate protection movement first took to the streets. The party even edged into the lead in opinion polls before falling behind Merkel's conservatives again, partly because of a controversy surrounding multiple false claims in Baerbock's official CV. I want to thank you for giving me this massive tailwind, especially after the headwind of recent weeks, where I made some mistakes that I'm extremely upset about. It's 3 months until Germans go to the polls, and for both the Green Party and for its new Chancellor candidate Annalena Baerbock, they're looking to be the most important 3 months in their 40 years of existence.
Thousands of people have marched through the Canadian city of London. They were rallying against hate crime. Four members of a local Muslim family were killed by a man driving a truck. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has called it a terrorist attack.
A march in solidarity. Thousands walked from the spot where the Muslim family was killed to the nearby mosque, taking a stance together against hate crime and Islamophobia in Canada.
It feels really good that people support us.
You feel so empowered, you feel so united, it's insane. Yeah. It's an insane
You forget feeling. How like good humans are.
Yeah, and it was a really good reminder because we've been inside this entire time and seeing everyone around you all united in the same way, it feels amazing. Really good.
The premeditated attack has left residents in shock. The victims, a 15-year-old girl, her parents and grandmother. Three generations of one family who had been out on an evening stroll. The sole survivor, a 9-year-old boy, was left orphaned.
So I feel this is the alarming for the whole community, regardless he's a Muslim or the Christian or the Jew or the Hindu, everyone. It can happen with any community if we will grow the hate in our heart and we will teach our children to the hate. This is a land of immigrants. It's a land for everyone, regardless which religion is belonged.
The march culminated in the candlelit vigil. A grieving community now demanding government action against violence towards Muslims.
Going back to Euro 2020, and Belgium and Russia went head-to-head in St. Petersburg. Romelu Lukaku scored after 10 minutes to put Belgium ahead. And after Thomas Munier made it 2-0, Lukaku sealed the win with a second goal at the death. 3-0 it finished, and a flying start for one of the tournament favourites. Tennis, and at the French Open, unseeded Barbara Krejcikova has beaten Anastasia Palyuchenkova in the women's final. It's the first Grand Slam singles title for the 25-year-old.
Spurred by the memory of her late coach, former Wimbledon champion Yana Novotna, Barbora Krejcikova, at the top of your screen, stormed into an early lead in this clash of the outsiders, breaking in the fourth game before winning the set 6-1. But Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova refused to crumble and surged back to take the second set 6-2. In the decisive third, Krejcikova broke serve to go 4-3 up after a thrilling 10-shot rally. And she clinched the title on her fourth championship point when Pavlyuchenkova hit long. A first major trophy for the Czech, which she was presented with by the legendary Martina Navratilova. Krejcikova now bids to become the first woman since Mary Pierce to win the French Open singles and doubles titles in the same year.
Novak Djokovic is through to the men's final of the French Open after knocking out defending champion Rafael Nadal. The top-seeded Serbian won in a thrilling four sets on the clay at Roland Garros. Nadal had set his sights on a record 14th title. The battle lasted over 4 hours. Djokovic will now face Greece's Stefanos Tsitsipas. He held off the German Alexander Zverev to reach his first major final. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. Up next, more on Euro 2020 in sports life. And if you want to stay up to date on all the latest news, visit our website, dw.com, or follow us on social media. I'm Pablo Folilias. For me and the rest of the team here in Berlin, thanks for watching and take care.